just believe the Lord really just wants us to surrender everything to Him for this year. Every worry and every fear, every anxiety, every plan, every dream, hope, desire, expectation even, just to surrender everything to the Lord right now. Lord, we thank You that we can bring our hearts to You, Lord. We can bring our thoughts to You, Lord, our plans for this year, our jobs, Lord, our studies, Lord, our school careers, Lord, everything that we are called to do this year, Lord. We come to surrender it. We come to lay it at the foot of the cross this morning, Lord. Some of us, Lord, have great responsibility for many people that we're managing and that we're leading, Lord. Some of us, Lord, are following. Some of us, Lord, are just doing what we feel You've called us to do, Lord. Some of us are even unsure about what this year holds. We don't know how it will end, but Lord, today we just say, we trust in You, Lord. Thank You this morning that You know every day, Lord. You have numbered our days, Your word says, Lord. You have numbered this year, Lord. This year is planned out, Lord, in your mind, God. Lord, we thank You that each one of us is also planned in Your mind, Lord. Each one of our paths this year, Lord, each one of our lives, Lord, has been laid out, God. And You've birthed us for a purpose, Lord. You have given us a life, Lord, that we can live it to the full this year, Lord. We choose this year to trust in You, Lord, to surrender completely. Just allow the Lord to show you, even right now, the thoughts that you're thinking about this year. Just focus on this year. Think about what it holds. Think about the possibilities, the opportunities. Think about every possible opportunity, every possible challenge, every possible stress. And just allow the Lord to show you where you need to surrender even more, where you're still holding on so much. How you can just trust Him more. Just ask Him to birth that in your life, in your mind right now. I just want to say you can trust Him. You can trust Him fully. He loves you so much. He's waiting for that childlike faith to rise up in you, and where you just become joyful like a child again. Just run into His arms and just say, Daddy, I trust You this year. And as you do that, as you run into His arms, He just sends you out and He says, you know, I'm going with you, but I believe in you. Go and do that. Go and conquer every battle. Go and win every victory for Me, for My glory. So Lord, this year we choose to glorify You in our lives, God. We choose to give You all the glory for every victory, every breakthrough, every testimony, Lord. It's all about You, Lord. Our lives are not our own, Lord. We want to give our lives to You, Lord. We want to sacrifice everything that still exalts ourselves, God. Jesus, be glorified today. Be glorified right now, Lord. We just so love You, Lord. We so worship You. It's so good to be here this morning, Lord. It's so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, Amen. Just turn to someone next to you and just greet them if you haven't yet. Say welcome back for those who have just come back from holiday. It's great to see you all. Those who weren't here last week, it's so wonderful to see some students back. Some of them are starting tomorrow, some of them on the first year's camp, so we're trusting for amazing time with the first years. Who had a good holiday? Who's ready for the year? I had the privilege of doing a wedding in December, and the Lord gave me a word for this couple, and it's amazing when the Lord gives you a word, then you have to sort of look at the word and realize, but do you live this word, and is it real in your own life? And sometimes it is a challenge, because we, as pastors, we definitely aren't perfect, and most of the words that we give are also for ourselves. In fact, all of them, obviously. But the Lord gave me 1 Corinthians 13, and I guess it's maybe a normal wedding scripture, I don't know. But I was going through 1 Corinthians 13, and just even as I was preaching and preparing, I just was so challenged by what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And he's writing to a charismatic church. He's writing in the middle of a discussion on the gifts and the whole charismatic thing and moving in the spirit and all that. And then he focuses on this one concept, four letters, called love. And some of us know the scripture, but it's just so challenging when you read about this amazing love, this thing called love. And how perfect it is, how amazing it is. Let's just read some of it. And before this, Paul is writing, and he's saying, listen, yeah, without this, it doesn't matter what you've got. It doesn't matter how many gifts you've got. It doesn't matter how much faith you've got. It doesn't matter how much of a charisma you have or a charismatic thing you have. If you don't have this, you're actually nothing. So I was really challenged as a spirit-filled believer, as a charismatic, as someone who loves the gifts of the Spirit and loves to move in the Spirit, and was so challenged to focus a little bit on this that Paul writes. And then he goes on in verse 4 and he says the following, and I want you to, as we read this, I want you to just look at this and ask yourself, you know, how do you measure up to this? Is this what you understand by love? Is this how you live out love? Is this how you... You know how love is born in your own life. Love is patient and love is kind. Any impatient people here? The hands sort of half going up. Love is not impatient. Love is not unkind. Love is patient and love is kind. That's what love is. And then it says what love is not. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way, and it's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. How many of us forgive easily? How many of us keep record of wrongs that have done toward us? How many of us hold that in our hearts? Love does not do that. Love rejoices about the truth and does not rejoice about injustice. How many of us rejoice sometimes when injustice is done because we are justified? Love never rejoices about injustice. Love rejoices but about the truth. And then one of my favorites, love never gives up. But how many of us are tempted to give up when times are tough? How many of us tend to lose faith when things don't go like we want them to go, or just like when life gets tough? Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. And then, in the New King James Version, love never fails. So when I was going through this, I was so challenged by, you know, is this how I live my life? Am I really living a life of love towards just my, you know, my friends, my family, towards people? And I was just so challenged by this. Love is perfect. This is perfect love. And guess what? We must realize this morning that we definitely don't measure up to this love. And that's okay. That's fine. But there's one who does. There's one who is perfect. He's love himself. See, you might be strong in some areas. You might be a very patient person. But then maybe when it comes to keeping record of wrongs, you might be slow to forgive. You might harbor a bit of unforgiveness in your life, whatever. You can look at that list and see in your life there's some things you're good at, and then that's great. Celebrate what you're good at, but what you're not good at, just realize things do need to change if we are to become like love himself, Jesus Christ. See, God's love for us is perfect. Amen. But guess what? It's our love for him that isn't perfect. It's our love for Him that needs to be made perfect. And I'm going to look at that perfected love, God's perfected love, God's love being made perfect in our lives. I just want to look at that a little bit today. You know, there's something about perfection. Now, perfection is not perfectionism, okay? I tend to be a perfectionist. I find fault sometimes when I shouldn't. God is not a perfectionist, but God is perfect. God doesn't always look at our faults, but He looks at the fact that He's made a way for us to change. Amen. God doesn't focus on our sins and our shortcomings, but He does want us to grow and to be complete and to be mature and to be accomplished, because that's what the word made perfect means. It means complete. See, I want to ask you guys a question just to make you think even further. Is God more responsible for our salvation, or are we more responsible? Who's more responsible for our salvation, would you say? Is it God or is it us? It's a very deep theological question, that. Who's more responsible for our salvation? We're all the teachers in the house. I don't want to have you answer. I just want everyone to think. I know that'll excite the theologians among us. William's left now, but this is something that William Clift would love to get into. Who is more responsible for our salvation? Is it God or us? Who's more responsible for us getting born again? Is it God or us? So I just want you to think about that, because it ties in with this. It ties in a little bit with a relationship is not one way. Amen. Anyone tried a one-way relationship? God's relationship with us is not one way. It's two ways. God wants us to respond to Him because of His amazing love. So I believe this year God wants to allow us to just respond to Him and to His perfect love. And He wants to establish something in our community this year and in our lives. I believe it's so exciting. I believe if God's love is made perfect, obviously it won't be completely perfect, but if God's love is starting to be perfected in our church and in our lives as individuals and even in the city as a community and as a city, I believe God will be pleased with that. And I believe so many people will be drawn to that love. Wouldn't you agree? I'm excited about that. I believe God wants to perfect His love in us. And you see, it's not about His love being perfected, because His love is perfect. He doesn't have to do anything more. Jesus has done it all on the cross. He said it's finished. There's nothing more God can do. God poured out His Holy Spirit. He's done everything from His side. And we must realize that God has done everything from His side. Isn't that so cool to trust Him, that He is perfect? Sometimes we wait for God to do more stuff, but God has done everything on the cross. He sent His Son. He sent His Holy Spirit to help us, not to help Him. His Holy Spirit wasn't sent to help His relationship with us. Isn't that so? He's got a perfect love for us, and He's got a perfect love for the world out there. But the Holy Spirit was sent to help us in our relationship with God. How do we respond to God? See, even when it comes to God, God can have a one-way relationship with mankind, but it's going to end. That's the scary thing. God's relationship with mankind, one way, is going to end sometime. It's going to end with Judgment Day, because God is a relational God. He can't take it if people don't respond to Him just because He's holy. Isn't that so? So one day there's going to be an end. If people don't respond to God, you know what? Unfortunately, people are not going to end up with God. They're going to end up in a place away from God, apart from God. That's the worst place one can be. So even if we think about it, think about yourself. If you try and pursue a relationship and there's no response, guess what? I don't think it's a relationship, wouldn't you say? Relationships need to be two ways. So even when it comes to God, God is long-suffering. His mercy is never-ending. He's awesome, but there's a time when God's one-way relationship with mankind cannot last any longer. There's going to be an end to that. And only those who've responded will come into complete perfection with Him. And that's amazing for us as believers. It's good news for us, but it's sad news for many of our families. It's sad news for many people that we know that reject God and that don't want God. But I don't want to focus on that this morning. I just want us to think about that for a while. Because you see, in order for a relationship with God to work, we must respond to Him. He's called for us to be born again. He's called for us to follow Him and then to be sanctified. So the first thing, there's just three keys that I want to look at this morning. Just three simple keys that I believe God wants to do in our lives and to establish in our lives in order for us and our love for God to be perfected and to be matured. The first thing is in John 1 John 2. It says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And he's talking about Jesus coming to die and pay the price and to be the propitiation, that big word that we find in the Bible. He's talking about Jesus coming to be the sacrificial lamb. And then he says, it's important as believers that we respond to this word, and that we not only respond to it once, but that we keep his word. Then the love of God will be perfected in us. It's just wonderful to see people responding to the love of God for the first time. I don't know if you've led anyone to the Lord, if you've seen someone giving their life to Jesus, but it's just so wonderful to see that response. And that part of that response is this thing of God's love being made perfect, is the start of this process of perfection in a life, when a life responds to God. A life responds to His Word. And then I think it's also awesome when you see someone following Jesus with their whole heart, someone laying down their life. I tell the story often, but there's one guy in Stellenbosch, he got saved. I was the cell leader at the time, and I prayed for him in front of church, and he got radically saved. He gave everything to the Lord. He just said, when's the next Bible school? When's the next cell meeting? I've missed out so much. And I heard afterwards, he tore down all his posters of Michael Schumacher and all his CDs of AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and all this other stuff. He had just so much of the world in him, and he just threw it away. Another friend of mine got saved in London, and he was even more radical. He gave himself a new name. He said, I'm the soldier of God, and he drew a line, and he said people couldn't come too close to him because he was in a new life, and he threw away any t-shirts, any clothes, anything that had anything to do with the world and reminded him of his past. And he's a pastor now. But it was just a radical response to the Word of God, a radical obedience, and a starting of God's love being perfected in him. Called to be born again, the call to just be fully following Christ. And I think when people have breakthroughs in their lives, and they've been caught up in porn or caught up in lustful stuff or caught up in alcohol or smoking, and they start to give it up, I think it's just amazing when the love of God starts to be perfected in people, because people respond in obedience to the Word of God. Isn't that so? By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. See, everything in the Word of God is important to understand and to obey. Isn't that so? And that's why I think in the times that we're living in, God's Word is under so much attack. God's Word is starting to become watered down in certain spheres, and even thrown out of schools, thrown out of communities, because the devil knows that if we start to keep God's word, guess what? The love of God is made perfect in us. Amen. So I believe I want to challenge us this year to make an effort to come to Bible school. If you haven't done Bible school yet, make an effort to do the correspondence. I think in Shofar we've got wonderful tools to tell people the Word of God, to help them to keep the Word of God. I don't know, my life was changed when I was doing Bible school back in the day in Stellenbosch. And I couldn't get enough. I used to run at the time. I was training so hard, and I was tired. I had the excuse of, it's my Tuesday night hard session. I can actually miss Bible school because I don't really need to do this because I'm so focused on my training. But, at the time, there was a drawing of God to His Word. And I would run through McDonald's, and, it's the worst recovery food that you can get. But I was prepared to make that sacrifice because we ended our training session at 7 o'clock, and Bible school second session started like at 20 past 7. So I had to make it for the second session. I couldn't make the first session. So I had to repent to God. God, I'm sorry, I missed all the first sessions. But when I got to that second and the third session every night, it was like I had new energy, sitting under the Word of God, being so excited. Even though I'd just eaten a McDonald's, which doesn't really make you feel good, I guess. But the Word of God was starting to become alive to me, and I started to obey it. I started to say, okay, I need to be saved. I need to be spirit-filled. At the time I was born again, but I need to speak in tongues. I need to pray in the Spirit. I need to understand water baptism, I need to start memorizing scripture. And I was inspired to do that. Because it was amazing to see how God's love was starting to be perfected in my life. And I could see how through the Word of God, other people's lives were changed. Through an excitement to the Word of God. And I think last year we can testify how many first years, how many students in this church, how many older people that have come in. Some of you can testify. You came into this church and the Word of God started to become alive to you. And you started to lay down stuff. You started to lay down things that held you back. So I believe this year, I think we should make a priority of the Word of God. Amen. Not for ourselves, guys. But so that God's love can be made perfect in us. So that He can be glorified. So that He can be the one that works through us. And it's not about us. And sometimes we just want to put the Word of God in and Bible bash people and just tell them Scripture. The Scripture is not really real to us. But I'm just realizing again, our Scripture is just being real to me. Challenging me on my lack of love and my lack of many things. But memorizing Scripture is crucial. I want to challenge you. When last did you memorize a word that you could stand on? That you could quote without thinking? You could just know this word has become real to me. You know, we can memorize Scripture and still not have it in our hearts, okay? Let's be real. We can do all the right things. We can memorize it. If it's not part of our hearts, then it doesn't mean much. I think we must memorize Scripture. Make it our own. Make it real to us. But keep the Word of God in order that His love can be made perfect in us. The second thing I read in 1 John 4, and it's just wonderful, these three simple scriptures. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Isn't that amazing? That's a key for our church this year, okay? I want you to listen to me now. When someone walks into this church, when someone new or unsaved or just a bit disillusioned walks into the church, you know what? And it's the same with us. None of us have seen God, okay? That's what the Scripture says. None of us have seen God at any time. We're really people of amazing faith, actually. Do you know that? Just to encourage you. You believe in Jesus, you actually got great faith because you've never seen Him. To believe something you haven't seen. It's like that, you know, my dad struggles to believe because he wants to see something. Wants to see something concrete. And so he says to me, he struggles to believe in something that he can't see. So God is amazing because He's birthed some faith in you that is awesome. And so the fact that you believe without seeing is really something that God has done in your life. Amen. So we should give glory to God for the fact that we believe, because it's nothing we have done. It's only Him and His Word and His Spirit and His community that's shown us who God is. I'm so thankful for the people that showed me who God really is. And obviously not perfect, but showed me the Word, showed me the Spirit, showed me a life of abundance. But you know what? When someone walks into this church, you can show someone who God is by simply loving the person next to you and obviously loving them as well. So I believe this is a key for outreach. This is a key for reaching people, is that I think we should love one another as God loved us. You know what the old commandment says? Love your neighbor as yourself. Eh? Anyone know that commandment? We can quote it. But guess what? Some of us don't love ourselves. So how are we going to love our neighbor? Not very well. Anyone here struggled at any time in your life with not loving yourself? Just be honest now. I'm one of them. I don't always like myself. Sometimes even now, I want to be like someone else, you know, because sometimes it's just a bit cooler, you know. So if we don't really love ourselves, then how are we going to love our neighbor according to the Old Covenant? But what did Jesus say in John chapter 13, 34? I haven't got it up there, but He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another how? As I have loved you. So that's now another level, amen. We mustn't love people like we love ourselves. We must ask God to, and yes, we must, but we must ask God to pour His love into our hearts that we can love ourselves and love others like He loved us. That's for me a massive challenge. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been made perfect in us. Now I remember, you know, before I got Spirit-filled, before I got saved, I was more into just being on my own, and you know, the less people around me, the better. Let me just get on with life. And I remember when I got saved, and God keeps saving me, because I go back to that place sometimes again where you just want to be on your own. People are sinful and they've fallen, and they sometimes stand in the way of what you want to do. But you know, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the love of God, I had such a love for people. I couldn't stop testifying to people, loving people. But you know, we have to get saved and Spirit-filled over and over again, because sometimes we grow weary in doing good. Sometimes the world gets the better of us. Doesn't matter what type of personality you are, God doesn't look at personalities. He looks at His perfect love. He makes it perfect in us. Amen. That's what's amazing for me. It's what God did in my life, the fact that He called me into the ministry. I went, some of you know from last week, I went back this holiday to work on a tractor again. You know, I love to work on the old tractors on the farm, and it was so wonderful to go visit that place again. But I just realized how much I've changed since I was last in that workshop on the farm, getting my hands dirty, fixing this tractor. And how frustrated I used to get, and how upset I used to get, and this, now it's a bit less. Ask my wife, I still got a bit frustrated at times, but it's a lot less, because my focus isn't just getting things right. Focus is to love God, worship God through everything I do. But God's love is made perfect when we start to love one another. And I believe we need to have God's love poured out into our own hearts. Sometimes we don't love ourselves, and we don't even know how to love people. But I'm excited. I believe God is saying this year is going to be different. This year we're going to grow as a community, because we're going to love one another even more, and sacrifice time for one another, and say yes to things that aren't always comfortable, but that will glorify God. Because let's be honest, how often do we say yes to stuff that's nice for us? But what about saying yes to stuff that will be nice for someone else? So I think that's perfect love. That's when God's love is made perfect in us, when we love one another, and when we say it's not about me and how I feel it. Many times, even in ministry, I can enjoy what I'm doing. I think it's important, so important to enjoy what we do. And I think that's part of God's heart for us. But I think sometimes we must just stretch ourselves and say, God, I'm doing this because someone else must enjoy this. Someone else must be blessed. Amen. I think only God can do that in us, because as humans, we struggle to have perfect love. And I think it starts in our love for God. And once again, it's a cycle, because our love for God is played out in our love for one another, and our love for one another is played out in our love for God. So I think the more you love people, the more you love God. The more you love God, the more you want to be with people and love people. Isn't that so? It's a test. And you can read lots of scriptures on this, because it says, if you really love me, you will love other people. You'll love your brother. The rest of this 1 John 4 is just so amazing. The third thing. 1 John 4 verse 17 says the following: love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. I think there's a trust. Our love for God is perfected and is born out when we really trust Him, that one day we don't have to fear. In fact, right now we don't have to fear for the judgment of God. If we can know our future, and you know, I think if we haven't got the fear of death in our lives, I think all other fears seem to become less and less. But the fear of death is a big thing. You know, what is God going to say? Is He really going to say to me, good and faithful servant, have I done everything that God called me to do? Have I missed it? Have I... And when we live with this constant fear that God might judge us, and yes, there will be a believer's judgment. We will be judged according to our, you know, the faithfulness and the obedience that we showed. But this year is talking about the day of judgment for believers and unbelievers. And I think God wants our love and His love for us to show us that He's how perfect our love for Him is being made perfect when we know that we are born again. We made a fire this holiday. We went camping the one night, and we made this huge bonfire, and we were sitting there, and it was so hot, and my wife just said, listen, yeah, imagine imagine what like hell is going to be like, because this is what hell is going to be like. Much, much bigger fire. But imagine being in this fire and not dying. Then I had a scary thought again about hell and the fact that some people are just going to burn like this and you're just going to want to die, but you're not. Or worms are going to eat you or something. And you're just not going to die. You know that nauseous feeling when you get sick over and over again, you've got food poisoning or something? I think that's what hell's going to be like when you want to die, but you don't die. It's terrible. But you know, as believers, we don't have to have that fear. We have to know that we've got boldness in the day of judgment. We can stand before the cross or stand before God, and the cross is, and Jesus is between us, and He says, it's okay. I know you. Don't depart from me. Come. Come here. Come in. But the scary thing is, I think some people are not going to have boldness in the day of judgment. They're going to be fearful. And then it goes on to say that there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So I believe God wants to trust us fully. He wants us to trust Him fully with our futures. And with 2016, I really believe God wants us to trust Him fully. So I don't know what fear is possibly in your life. Maybe there's fear of failure. Maybe there's fear of the future as to, is your life going to mean something? Or maybe you're worried about what people think the whole time. There's this fear of people. And God says there's no fear in love. Maybe you're fearing being rejected, and so you always want to please people. Or maybe you fear being persecuted or ridiculed or being made a fool for the name of Christ, and so it's difficult for you to testify and to stand up in boldness. Maybe you even fear being condemned by God because, hey, you've been disobedient. You haven't done the will of God properly. And there's this heaviness over you. And I believe Christ wants to come to remind each of us this morning that we can have boldness, not only in the day of judgment, but even right now. We can have forgiveness. We can have freedom. We can have no condemnation. Amen. For those who are in Christ Jesus. See, there's nothing like the freedom that Christ brings. And I think out of this freedom comes a joy to live the Christian life fully. Because I know it's sometimes serious, and I tend to become serious, and I think it is a serious business. But I think if we lose our freedom, if we lose our childlike faith and our childlike freedom, I think that's the word, freedom. When you look at children, you just see freedom. You see a joy to live. You see, yes, they go through their struggles. And like yesterday we went to someone's house for a braai, and there's a swimming pool, and it was just amazing to see how much, you know, for kids, a swimming pool is just awesome. In the summer, we need to get swimming pools, those with kids. It's hours and hours of entertainment. But you know, around a swimming pool and in the waves this holiday again, I just become like a child again. I just love it. I love to do bomb drops and be a bit stupid, you know. My wife thinks I'm crazy. I heard her saying something about, I think Alice didn't have lots of water when he was small, so he's now making up for the times when he didn't swim. Because, you know, growing up in the Karoo, there's not lots of water, so... but I don't like swimming as a sport, or, you know, when you have to swim length upon length, that's not fun for me. But fun is to just become like a kid. And I can see the kids are attracted to that type of fun. They just want to be with you. Then you organize this bomb drop thing, and we're going to all do a bomb and see how much water we can get out the swimming pool. And poor guy whose swimming pool it is, he's just thinking, swimming pool will never be the same again. But I think if we live this Christian life knowing our future is secure, knowing that there's no fear in us, knowing that God is starting to do a process in our lives and He will continue it because He is faithful and His love is perfect. I think our response is so important to say, God, we honor your word. We want to live by your word. We want to be like children again. We want to have faith. We're going to have freedom. We want to have no fear, because there's no fear in love. I don't think it talks about, you know, not, you know, some of us have got fear of snakes and fear of frogs and fear of all sorts of funny things. And that, I don't think God looks at that too much. I think He just looks at this fear that we have because of our own sinful nature. And we're so conscious of ourselves, and we're so worried about what people think. We're so worried about what the world thinks. You know, God wants to come to rescue us. Yesterday, just the last story before we before we close. We were at the swimming pool, and my daughter can't swim yet, but she was in this tube on top of the, you know, in the deep end. So everyone's out the pool, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, she looks pretty safe there in this tube, but if something happens now, then she does do swimming lessons, but, you know, she can't quite keep herself afloat for long. And so we sort of caring, and then suddenly we just hear her like struggling a little bit and crying for help, sort of, and then she's off the tube and trying to get herself back on the tube, but she can hardly stay afloat, and one of my friends just like runs it. I'm thinking, no, he's not going to do this. I'm going to do this rescue act. And so I'm in my costume, but I had my t-shirt on, and I dive into that pool and sort of just lift her up like that. I can see she's a bit afraid and really kind of scared about the situation and a bit shocked. And then she's just like, Daddy, but why did you jump in with your t-shirt on, you know? I said, because you were there and I love you so much and didn't want to see you struggle for much longer. Didn't want to see you drown. I think that's what God wants to come and do for us. He's just this awesome Father. This awesome Daddy wants to come and rescue us. He wants to come and show us that His love is perfect. And we can respond and just thank Him. And then love Him more. Obey Him more because He's good. Love His people more. Trust Him. Surrender our lives completely and just respond to His awesome love. And you know, then Caitlin just goes on. Life has happened because Daddy rescued me. And yeah, you know, I was a bit scared. But hey, life goes on. We'll swim again, you know. Maybe a bit more careful this time. But so I want the band to come forward this morning. I want to trust the Lord to do something in our hearts this morning. So I'm so excited about so many people to come into our midst this year. I know there's unbelievers, there's disillusioned believers, there's unchurched people, de-churched people, you know, we talk about all these types of people. People that have been hurt by church, people that have been hurt by leaders, people that have been hurt by God, or they feel they've been hurt by God, people that have never known God, or people that have walked away from God. I know there's lots to come into our church. I believe that's why we have church. You know, church can never just be about us. Church is the only institution that is actually exists for its non-members. Isn't that amazing? Most clubs exist for their members. If they weren't members, they wouldn't exist. But you know, church is for the people that aren't here, actually. Yes, it's for us as well, and we edified and we grow in our love for God. But I believe church is for so many other people. But you know, God cannot trust us always to send lots of people to us, because are we really going to love them? Are we really going to love their brokenness and their issues and their sins? It's easy to work with people that are sorted out. You know, Jesus said, I leave the 99 sorted out sheep to go for that one lost sheep, the one that's walked away. And I think that's a test for our love, let's be honest. Are we going to go for that one that's walked away? That's a test of whether God's love is really perfected in us. So I believe God is inviting us just to allow Him to perfect His love in us. But His word is so clear. There's just three things that He said are going to perfect His love. And not perfect His love so much as perfect our love for Him. Make our love for Him mature. Make this two-way relationship a little bit stronger. That's why obeying His word, loving His people, trusting His promises, surrendering totally to Him, having no fear of the future and of any other fear. I think that's going to cause our love to grow stronger for God. Amen. It's going to cause us to know God more. So I want us to close our eyes this morning. Lord, I just want to thank You that You want to establish this in our midst, Lord. Your perfected love. The love of Christ on the cross, laying down His own life. Because He could see each and every one of us. And Jesus, thank You that You could see each and every one of us, Lord. You could see each one of us, Lord, just struggling many times, frustrated, Lord, feeling down. You could see us, and You died for that, Lord. You made it possible that we can have this free and full and life relationship with You. Not a religious relationship, but a life in abundance relationship. I want to just thank you this morning that you're speaking to us, Lord, and that this word, Lord, will be true for the whole of this year, Lord. It doesn't matter what else we talk about, Lord, when we talk about lots of challenging subjects, Lord, that this will be the center of it all. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever so believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, not that we'll have eternal life one day, Lord, but that we can have eternal life right here on earth. And we can be free from our failures, free from our sins, free from condemnation, free from fear and guilt. Lord, that we can love your people, Lord. As we obey your word, Lord, thank you that you take us step by step. I just want to say this morning to some of us, God is just taking you to the next step. He's not expecting you to be perfect in one day or in one year even. He just wants to take you to the next step this year. I want you to ask Him right now to just show, ask Him to show you what does He want to do in your life now? Where is there love that hasn't quite been made perfect and hasn't quite grown? Where does He want to make you more like Him in your life?